Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is, has been, and always will be your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service.
We're a multi-generational industry, or business, I should say, facility, so we, you know, you, there's a lot of assurance for you down the road. I've built a legacy. We're set up to continue providing our services as long as, you know, God willing, things continue before we all get locked down, which is interesting as another side note. I was on my iPad today, and I tripped over some scriptures that I was studying a while ago, because when you have an iPad, and I don't favor one type of product over the other. In fact, I'm kind of, you know, on the fan of them all. But the whole thing is, and I found this old, I was talking about a while ago, Revelation, I think it's in 14, and it talks about the mark of the beast, and I was listening today to these people in New Zealand. It's so crazy, this guy made this the private, brilliant guy on the wall, he makes this presentation to the New Zealand Parliament, you know, how do I talk? I can't even come close, but they have some awfully interesting dialects, and this absolutely stunningly brilliant doctor, just this amazing guy, spends about 11 minutes and proceeds to explain what happened in, with the COVID virus, and he, without, you know, me becoming him, who's a very brilliant doctor, and I may not very brilliant doctor, he lays out the absolute madness of this Pfizer vaccine and how it permeates every pore, your cell system, into every organ, and it actually is training your body to destroy your cells. The mRNA does the same thing, and he's not. This guy's so brilliant, he actually worked for Pfizer for ages, and it's not Dr. Gayton, who also was a VP of Pfizer, who said this is another guy. And he was coming out just saying, this stuff is, they knew this, and they could stop the studies, and they didn't continue things that showed in rats and monkeys that it kills them. And that it's a long process of death. It's going to create massive amounts of cancer. Because it's creating, it's making your own body attack itself. It's going to attack your own cells. It's going to create this extreme autoimmune deficiencies. It's going to take time. It's a couple of years. And if you're healthy and young, it'll take a while. But eventually these nanoparticles, which are 1/1,000th of the size, they never put anything in anybody. They also is in the bloodstream, and so basically it doesn't quarantine or secularize the, he was talking IgA and IgF proteins, and I even make it sound bad. But it doesn't contain the virus. So it puts the virus into your blood. It's not even killing this supposed virus. The worst thing is this, folks, is the precursor. That was the precursor. You read about the mark of the beast, right? I mean, when it's just like no one can buy a cell without the mark of the beast, you're like, what is that? Oh, it's probably a tattoo that said, I'm vaccinated, how about you, and it makes it look like it's all just super cool to be vaccinated, you know the pressure we saw, these guys are, you don't think these guys are gonna go for something crazy next time around, these guys being the Democrats, I sound like a politician, because I am politically skilled, and I know that in like Georgia, you're having all this infighting. Can you imagine Herschel Walker, if you know anything about sports, meet this guy ever? Cole Stallion, you know, he was the greatest linebacker ever. I actually have a good friend from high school who's now an orthopedic surgeon. He will have the privilege, when I play for the New England Patriots, of having his knee taken out by Herschel Walker. But later in life, he had the privilege of working at doing work on Herschel Walker's ankle in Bangalore, and not that Herschel's from Bangalore, Herschel's from Georgia, but he knew this Dr. Tony Hines, and he went to Ben to have his walk done, and it's just, it's interesting how that's the sports world, baby. The doctor that I know now, I grew up with, and he ended up coming back to Montana State after his injury and going through the rest of the medical program as a genius. He was, he broke the rushing record, 20 rushing record in Montana, 20 rushing record for the Ivy League. He went to Harvard, and he went on to the Patriots, and this was questioning, and then Herschel questioned. But Herschel never used a steroid in his life, and to you, if you don't know much about the NFL, that fight doesn't exist. You're watching gladiators. We're actually semi-hypocrites, because we're always looking for, you know, this club fighting. They're all on drugs, folks. I'm sorry, but they're all, and that's what technically the people want. It's just what they want. They want gladiators, right? They've even found in some of the old lands in Rome and Greece where the gladiators fought, they found old glass syringes. Kind of like ours would be, you know, but they're a little different material, but they found syringes where they believed that they were using them to, inject, buffalo testosterone, not buffalo, bee testosterone, to make them stronger, but this is the world we live in. Folks, it's better at sports through modern science, I guess, I don't know. But the level be fooled when you see these guys running around the field, which, I think less than 10% of the people now watch the NFL than they did before the bombing and the COVID bombings. You know, the kneeling. I don't agree with people saying, well, they have a right to do that. No, I don't think so. I think if, you know, if it wasn't in the bylaws of the team, it needs to be to say, hey, look, if you play for us, you are a real American. You love America. You're going to show respect to the NFL whole flag. You're not going to say this garbage I heard this weekend, you know. I kind of get sick and tired of it. I get absolutely ad nauseum nauseous from the media constantly creating antagonism. Just vitriol, you know. You're like, oh, you know, so-and-so. This actually happened. I made a comment about something that was as big as my Rushmore, big of a deal as my Rushmore. And then they go, well, then this group came out and said they don't appreciate using the analogy of my Rushmore because it was made on stolen land from the Indians. Okay, let's back up. Let's say it was on stolen land from the Indians. Is it awesome? That's the point. I think they look for the antagonistic groups. And I think they're quite, I think the media, even Fox News, for those of you who watch it, and I check it out now and then, and I like all the messy waters, and I'm getting a little bit tired and fed up of things. But I gotta touch base once in a while so I know what's going on. But even Fox News is just, they're just constant antagonism, agitation. But you know, there is a lot of very serious things going on right now. I mean, I was reading today this guy who was a bailiff. His children, him and his wife, are obviously conservative believers, and they were objecting to this absolutely inappropriate surveys being taken of their children in school about their sexuality, and then the parents complained, and then the teacher told the children, keep it a secret, don't tell your parents. What? And then the principal escorted her off the grounds and told her she was no longer a student in the school because she refused to take surveys, not quizzes, surveys. In other words, what do you think about this? What is your sexuality? Do you like men's pants or whatever? I'm just saying, this is how stupidly disgusting this stuff gets. So then the bailiff files paperwork against the school, the guy gets a pump walk. And you know what pump walk is? That's the perpetrator walk. That's where the police, it's the term is when the police walk some, you know, accused guilty guy in front of the media or the people. It used to be days of old, everyone would go kill him, you know, that kind of stuff. It also skews the perspective of what is ultimately meant to be the joy of your peers, the general populace. It's a terrible thing to do. They did it without any discretion, they had a big scene out of it, and then the dad, who was a bailiff at the county jail or the county courthouse, went down to file paperwork to complain. And then he was subject to an internal affairs investigation for using his uniform to intimidate public officials. And he said, hey, I just did it on my lunch break. It was in the same building where I work. And then they come up with all these examples in their lawsuit of, you know, people, law enforcement going to court cases, divorces, all kinds of places, using their uniform as authority to say, hey, look who I am, treat me well, and what are you guys? And so I think that's going to go strong. Florida's one of those states where they've done a great job of standing up for it. You know, we don't like you, but don't say gay bill that they pushed through. They never even said that, and then they just said, don't teach our kids sex ed or deviant sexual education. Sexual education, folks, I'm sorry, love it or hate it. The actual mechanics of it, fine. You know, starting about junior high, kids are going to go through puberty, you gotta tell them the mechanics of it. People say, oh, let the parents teach it. Well, not every parent said that. But just teach the mechanics. This is what happens when you do this. This is how babies are made. You know, be darn careful. Realize what you're doing. This is what happens when you go through puberty. This is what happens in menstruation. You know, here's how you deal with it for girls. Keep them separate from the boys and teach them how to take care of themselves. You know, and same with the boys. When you're coming through that period of time, it's like the first time you've ever driven a supercar, you know, if there's a lot of power coming out and you don't know what to do with it. I mean, they gotta teach that. That's fine. That is biology. But you don't add any morality to it. You can even add a general disclaimer that says, look, we are not telling you what is morally correct or right. That is between you and your family. If you want to know what you believe, ask your parents. But this is the physical mechanical activity that takes place between two human beings that are adults. You know, and if that offends somebody, I've actually heard people disagree with it. You know, look, good for you, that means that you are super comfortable and maybe you're a great sex educator for your kid. But most aren't. But I'll tell you the other thing too, and I mean seriously, what I think makes sense. I try to be pretty logical, and hopefully you can disagree with most of what I say when I get into the scriptural stuff. Some people don't like what I have to say because they've been taught a certain way for so long. Any idea just terrifies them, and they got a pastor who says, I'm right. And I'm not looking into things. And I don't know. I was starting to mention Revelation 14 that talks about the mark of the beast. Folks, I'm telling you, it's kind of hard and it's kind of unsure. They're gonna do it again. That dark guy I was listening to, you know, was saying this is a precursor. They've started this terrible process in your body. If you took a vaccine, I'm sorry to hear that. Some people just can't help can it be? Nothing they put into you had anything with any relevance to anything they've ever done before. It was the most experimental. and you still carry the virus if it exists, which it does, because now your body's destroying itself, but it's not destroying the virus because they took a deionized molecule out that should create a bond with the actual COVID virus. And it does, but it doesn't kill it. And it's just a long mess. And it was 11, 12 minutes extremely scientific. I mean, my wife watched it, and her head was just spinning. And she's like, this is over my head. And I'm like, he's going somewhere with all this. And finally, he gets to his point. And his point is, these quote-unquote vaccines are unlike anything the body's ever seen or ever will see. And they're absolutely abnormal. They're taking these molecular structures with 29 molecules, removing, like I said, an ionized molecule. You know, just go out and it goes on and on about the proteins and all this stuff. I can't believe what we can do. It's impressive, but folks, this stuff's dirty deeds done dirt cheap, as ACDC would call it. And what happens if they keep you sick? Wait a minute. You're gonna need a booster. Oh, wait, they already came up with that idea. But even after a booster, if they keep you sick, you'll need another booster. Wait, they already did that to you, so I guess I'm a little behind the eight ball on that. Money is the answer to everything. We have today, half of all this stuff. Just like the mask stuff, why am I saying this? It's overkill, right? It's all past us. Just remember this, masks do not work. The best, longest, most existent science I've ever read in 40 years, 300 plus medically published journal articles say the masks don't work. They cause a ton of physical, psychological and societal harm. They affect children, they affect your ability to interact and read people. It's just a mess, right? And masks have been used, they've been used historically to psychologically manipulate people. They create fear and compliance. They're an identifier of the compliant and non-compliant or good and bad citizens. Think about it. It stands out. I still see people wearing masks now. Why are they wearing that? You know, I saw a guy at the gas station and I was older. I mean, I don't know if he made me look up. And I was like, I felt bad for him. I really did, because I could just tell he didn't know any better. He's just scared. He thinks there's this bubonic plague chasing him down and he's trying to hide from it. I could just tell, you know. But if I would have taken the time to explain everything, it would have been over his head. Because why? Because his boyfriend said or something, boy, or saying, Dad, you better mask up, don't get this disease. Folks, another one's coming. Monkeypox is a fake. It's like I always say. I say I compare everything to boxing, because I kind of, that's how my whole life was, and I think that way. The monkeypox is a fake. It's a fake left cap. Or it's a, you know, it's a, maybe a real left cap, but it's a fake overhead left. Opening up for the right. Because the big one's coming. The election's coming. They're wailing through all this ridiculous legislation now. That, you know, they're so proud of themselves. I can't actually believe how insidious this stuff is. Revelation 14 lets God through that vision of the angel. So I've discussed this with years ago. Lot 14:6, I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and every nation, tribe, and tongue and people. How would the gospel be spread to everyone on earth? The angel's job was to get it out. How would that be spread, okay? So, say what you want, but it's obvious. It's internet and TV, right? Everybody in the world, you're like old Kevin, you know, the pygmies and the stickheads and the middle-aged Jim Jones, Jackie Dean, don't have it. Yeah, they actually probably do, but even if they don't, there's such a minuscule portion they get exposed to the rest of the world. There's, I know, years back, Ken Ortiz had a TV station in India, like one of the big cities in Mumbai, where he was on all the time. You know, it's on all the time. It's like this angel said, I mean, the word is out there, okay? And that's a form of fairness that I discuss. People who don't know have a different accountability, but you do know. So don't ever condemn someone who doesn't know. Just share with them, okay? If you can't share with them, because they're somewhere else and you hear about a platform, that's it. But you can't judge a man who doesn't know. That's God's job, not ours. That's not ours to sit and decide who does and doesn't go to hell, other than one thing. What did Jesus say? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What did the Pharisees do? It says, oh, they saw him conducting many miracles and they conspired how to kill him. What? They saw the miracles of Jesus Christ. They saw him healing everyone he touched, everyone he came in contact to. And went, oh, we gotta kill this dude. What? Sorry, folks, that one rings a little muddy with me. I'm not gonna say, I know people get it, it's Semitic, it's not Semitic, it's human. It's evil, it's control, it's power. But that's blaspheming the spirit. They saw the spirit do a beautiful act. Wonderful activity. They even threw words out at Jesus. And the words and the responses were extraordinary, of course, as always, because he can read their hearts. That one, if somebody just blatantly says, I reject Jesus Christ, he's not real, he's not my Lord and Savior, he's not the Son of God, then yeah, the Bible's a little bit clear about that. You just hope they get that fixed before they check out. But other than that, it's not for us to decide. There's all kinds of people from different denominations, there's different personalities. Most likely the people listening to the radio station today are very avid lovers of Christ, and probably to the actual extreme, you know. You're taking time out of your day to tune into the ACM. You're making it a priority. That says clearly what your belief system is. You've probably heard me explain some stuff here. Clean my glasses because I can't see you. So anyway, it goes on about this angel, right? So I'm going to go in this route. I'm going to say, well, pretty much done there. It's not like if everyone out of it's not like if all the people who don't have an iPhone got an iPhone and got all cases. No, they can. It's there. It's accessible. Who doesn't check? I mean, someone who doesn't try to even look up spiritual anything, what are you going to do for them? I mean, that's their life at that point. I'm sure that God made everything even a looking for the better of. Then he goes on and he says, and he said, this is 14:7 left, with a loud voice, fear God. Good idea, right? That's the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. And give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water, which is a nice tie, and it's to Peter. And another angel said, second one fallen, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon, the great shoes, made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of Rome. Paying any attention to New York since the trade tariffs fell? God's timeline isn't 30 seconds like yours or mine. He's got a little, he's a big ship. He's got patience, it talks about. He's forbearing. He's loving, he's kind, he's gracious, he's patient. New York has crumbled in every way. And you might think, oh, New York, you haven't been there. It's just like other people say some of the silliest things about Jesus. And I'm like, dude, you need to go to Israel. Jesus wasn't real, and this wasn't so fake. It's like, yeah, good luck on that one. Get over there, take a quick break in the middle. Okay, better train that fella. God did a beautiful job of preserving the Holy Land. There's no doubt you want it. God left it there for you to make your faith a little easier. So when he says the hour of his wrath has come, Peter in Tier 3, I think, first Tier, second Tier 3. And it's what I am. It says, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. Okay, so I believe that the drop of Mystery Babylon in Rev 17 and 18 is unquestionably the collapse of the trade towers. And that is just the beginning of the dominoes falling as we head to the end. And it's interesting because in the overall scheme of things, man has been on this earth, according to the Bible, roughly about 6,000 years, okay? When you look at the overall scheme of things in time, that's really, you know, 20, 30, 40 years is no big deal. 60 years would be 1%, not even worth mentioning. So it says the hour of his wrath has come. You take a day as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Very interesting why. Because in Peter, in Rev 14:7, he talks about the God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. The same term is used in And it's a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. You take 1,000 years divided by 24 hours, because there are 24 hours in a day. It says the hour of his wrath is come. You're just a tick over 4 years, 41.67, if you get technical. And I don't know how technical God gets, but I have a feeling he might be a tad of a mathematician. Jesus talks about the regathering of Israel. This generation will not pass away until they see the coming of the Son of Man. And we know that they were accepted in the year 1967 with the United Nations. Right? And we know that people say 1948, I say 1967. He says this generation won't pass away until the coming of the Son of Man. Our generation, 75 what years-ish? 75, 80, whatever you want to call it. 75 years on top, which I think average lifespan of Earth is 75 or 6. You add that to 67, 1967, you're at about 2042, okay? Right in there, if it's 75, 2043, if it's 76. It says the hour of his wrath has come. Like I said, 1,000 years a day, 1,000 years, take 1,000 divided by 24 hours, and you get 41.67. Days. Or years, I'm sorry. 9-11, 2001, like, 9-11 of 2001, you add the 41.67 years to the date of the fall of Mystery Babylon, boom. You are almost within the exact year of Jesus saying this generation will pass away till they see the coming of the Son of Man. Here's the problem. It's 2022. We actually, I believe, have 20 years of this stuff. I know pre-term rapture stuff, I'll tell you that. Part of me is like, boy, that'd be neat. And the other part of me is like, that would be so unfair to everyone through history and so inconsistent with God. That's between you and God. But the first thing I would do, and I can argue that all day long, I am not a pre-termer. I believe there's, I think the rapture is all part of the grand deal. It's one of those futile discussions there is, because people believe what they believe. It's escapist theology. It's not consistent with God's character throughout history. What he carried Noah through, he preserved purity. Noah, there was all kinds of races on this earth before that. You go to the museum, in the New York Museum of Egypt, they have these 3 foot tall coneheads. You know, there was something going on there, folks. The Assyrians and Akkadians, Sumerians and Akkadians, document literally the spaceships came out and stuff came out. There's the Alkali Mine, the Uranium Mine in Libya is depleted, it's miles long. There's underground, highly nuclear tunnels where it appears they're running nuclear power, who knows? And the story goes that when the Great Pyramid was constructed, Enoch and whoever was with him, the chemical, came to Pharaoh Khufu, or whoever it was, and said, let me show you something. And took him out of the desert and showed him some kind of an incredible explosion, possibly the sea of glass that's found in Libya near Alkali. Now, we all know. And then you have to try to point shifting and all that kind of stuff. The times were just different. Legend of Atlantis is obviously pretty flat earth. It's like, there was this huge continent that had this incredible technology. People lived forever. And it was just amazing, of course. That's how history always puts things down. And then it was destroyed by water. It fell into the ocean, into the water. And then it broke apart. Gee, that sounds like Pangea, spinning apart. Take a globe and look at it and see if you can't spin it right back together. And you'd be like, oh, there's a piece missing there, and now you see what Google Earth, you're like, oh, that's lying in the ocean. I don't know how God made it, or why he made it, or what he did. I mean, I have my own theories. The whole moon thing, and I just think that there was a really neat time in this world, and I think that God had the best things up. So he maintained Noah's purity. It says in the Bible, Noah was pure in all of his generations, and it says he was a righteous man before God. So he didn't just out-rescue everybody. He kept his pure. But that was in order to restore the earth and bring it back. So Noah comes back. How much longer was it after Noah and Abraham came along? Couple hundred years or whatever. Noah was still living a long life. Whatever genetic anomaly he got before the flood came in there. And he had some effect on Abraham. There's a lot of cool ancillary scripture that says that Abraham learned his ways of God from God, his ways of God from Noah. When Nimrod was chasing him and trying to kill him because Nimrod had spiritual sorcerers that were saying, this guy's gonna create, this guy's gonna turn the earth into a really good place. He's gonna bring down all this spiritual activity. He's gonna have descendants as the sand on the seashore is what was said in the Bible by Abraham. You know, and so Nimrod, who was evil and legendary, wore the cloak that he stole from Ham that God made for Adam, that still gave Adam the ability somehow to speak to animals when he had it on. He died that one time, Noah or whoever. The Book of Adam and Eve says to bury, I think, Adam in the center, middle of the earth, which is, means, you know, the center of landmass. They had some abilities I don't quite understand. But mathematically I comprehend it, but I don't know how they do what they do, but they did. And maybe there's a concept. If guys live 700-800 years, what could you accomplish? Pretty much anything. You know? How long does an experiment take? I mean, my lifetime, you know? And then, you know, then you take our lifetime, multiply it by 10, they want no less. They had plenty of time to work on plenty of things. And I think they accomplish a lot of cool stuff. Water destroys everything, you don't wipe the earth out, the plates shift in everywhere, and when you still have the evidence, what's wrong with your bigger man stuff? There used to be a website I loved in parts, out of place artifacts, which was on saint.com. It was saint.com. And it's just, the website's just kind of gone to sleep a little bit, or got bored out, or so it's just not what it was, but there's so much amazing evidence of a plate flood really antediluvian occur, it's incredible. So now that we've covered that, let's go back and talk about the world we live in. Tonight, that was awful. We have, like I said, so I discuss my beliefs that we have like 2040-something, two maybe. And the third angel said, if anyone worships the beast and his image, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And it goes on from there. So what in the world is that all about? I'm thinking that's about, worshiping the beast, getting his image on, or getting his mark. A mark, the mark. You know, the Bible says on your eye, forehead, I mean, what did John see? Retinal scans and your right hand fingerprints. That makes sense. You just go on and do a biological scan of DEET. DEET, you know, you walk through the little wrinkles. You can go to football games, basketball games. Just take the mark of the beast. It says anyone who doesn't take that mark will not be able to buy or sell. But that is not the law. It's arousal. It's participate in the marketplace. And then what does God tell us biblically? He goes, gold and silver, gonna last. Gonna be there. Last day, the day of wrath. Excuse me, you're gonna be chucking in the street. He tells us it's there. He makes it clear. But he wants you to operate by faith. To trust him. He doesn't say, when Lucifer starts to look at the beast right out and spend all your money on precious metals, and you will be financially protected. I mean, everything's faith because of free will. Everything God tells you to do, many commandments tell you what not to do. But you still have free will. You know, most of the commandments are don't do this. And then, of course, obey the Sabbath. But then what did Jesus do? He flipped that on its head. Love positive action. The Lord your God, what so long is strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Positive. He gave us positive mental attitude. Positive forward motion. To do good. Not to just roll out the law. The point of the law was what not to do. Fight your flesh, just be strong, put on your shield, and just tough it out. You can do it. And the point of the law, Christ said, was to show the freedom that he brings, because you cannot adhere to the law. Once you become a believer in him, all of a sudden you can, but you're doing everything from a positive perspective. You're no longer doing it from a can't and don't and won't thing. When my kids were growing up, I did not use the word can't. Was not allowed in my home. It was a flag out of law. You take that out of your vocabulary, what are you left with? Won't. Don't. All of a sudden, you've got personal responsibility, personal accountability. Follow. Folks, it's a tough, weird struggle. I've had a tough year, I've had a lot of weird things happen. I've had some bad things happen that stink. And I just am like, Lord, why? And you know what he says? He goes, Kevin, I gave you wisdom. I tell you to pray for wisdom. But I gave you wisdom and you didn't follow it. Yeah. Well, I was in my influence to make certain decisions by other people. That was trying to please, things like that. Doesn't matter. I'm accountable. That's tricky, tough stuff. That's a hard deal. If God's that way, we need to make sure that we raise our kids that way. And I was gonna say, with the whole school system thing, all this mess going on, I don't know the average age or parental status of listeners. But I'm going to tell you right now, my advice and I'm an experienced veteran, seasoned father, and I believe I have gotten a lot. No secrets. Okay, when the school's telling them to keep secrets, why do they do that? Because kids can't tell you what they're doing. This gets real difficult. Like I talked about, teaching the mechanics, and they're like, Matt and little Sarah. Well, little Sarah and little Johnny are going to figure it out. Sorry. It's kind of a biological thing. And it's just life, and maybe you have that one child that remains perfectly chaste in every way, and that's just not reality. I'm sorry, it's, they have to, people have to go out and experience life, and it's not good, you know. We do what we do, what we do, and the Book of Proverbs tells us how to conduct our lives, but you can't really appreciate wisdom until you blow it for the times, you know. You just hope you don't blow it that bad, and that you get it, but I was going to say no secrets with parents. It's tough. I've talked to a couple parents about this, and they're like, I could never listen to little Sarah tell me she did this or that. Well, get ready. Be wise. Could you listen to a friend, not to your child, if I? You want to set the parameters? Don't get me wrong. But if the school's telling them to keep a secret, and you're saying, hey, secrets are fine in our home because we don't talk about certain things, what's going to happen? I had a pastor friend who rescued people, rescued girls from strip clubs. And that entire sexual industry, you know what he said? The majority of them come from Christian homes. And this guy's a godly, probably one of the most godly men I know. He's a stud. He's on fire for the Lord. He's committed his life. His spiritual, theological resume is mind-boggling, and he's a cool, great, godly man. And he even had percentages, over 50% of these strippers and sex activity girls come from Christian homes. Why is that? And he is very literally, and he even struggled with one child the other night. And it's a lot of legalism. It's the fear of the bullet. Now, their attitude is like, hey, sin, I blew it. Folks, sexual sin's different. Sexual sin is not the same. Paul made that clear. It consumes your body if you engage in sexual sin, adultery, and things like that. It consumes your every cell. Sorry, but it corrupts your spirit, your soul. And if you engage in the sexual stuff, that's why these girls have to mentally disconnect. I can't even imagine. I feel horrible for them. It's terrible. There's no such thing in these guys. Look at garbage porn. And they're like, oh, she's so hot and so smoking. And yeah, she would have anything to do with you in real life. And she's probably on meth or something. I don't know. And like, you know, they're human beings. How they got there is confusion. But we want to be the kind of parents and leaders in our families that just have grace, 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 mercy, 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 mercy. Not permission. You want to be excessively permissive, but you just have to face reality. You know? What Christ said is, wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. How wise do you think the serpent is, who, by the way, in the Bible is Satan? That's exactly what that term means, because wise as the devil, and as innocent as a dove. How is that possible? Think about it. There's only one way. And that's to be able to mentally, I call it compartmentalizing. Like, I'm the kind of person, I could conduct surgery. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, I never could. I could. I could just shut certain parts of my brain off, get it bad, and then afterwards go, well, that was a rush. You deal, but you have to be able to compartmentalize if you're. It's interesting, the people that struggle with that the most lack creativity. Typically, people that lack creativity had a hopeless upbringing, where they didn't believe anything they thought, did, or said mattered. Something bad happened. And it destroyed their creativity, and a lot of times led to simplistic pragmatism. So if you struggle with the ability to compartmentalize, you haven't developed your creative part of your brain enough. God gave us the ability to deal with all kinds of things. They have things like a fracturing, where people who can't cope actually split their mind into two different realms. They, for years, they said there was split personality disorder, then they said there wasn't. Now they give it names like fracturing. It actually happens. It's too much. Kids get treated wrong to a certain extent, and they break, and they go to another place, okay? But that other place doesn't necessarily create the creativity in order to compartmentalize. And I'm sorry, I'm getting all crazy, stupid, psychological here. I listen to weird stuff and read weird stuff. But if you can't compartmentalize, see, it's easy to be legalistic. It's easy to point your finger and act like you're righteous. You don't even have to look at yourself. When you're judging others, point your finger, you know? Really? When you point your finger at someone, there's four fingers pointing back at you. But that's not true, there's three. But anyway, I've heard that saying, like, what? Someone doesn't know how to count. I get all these weird tangents, I do not know why, but you know what, if it helps one person or one family or one child, that's enough for me. And I don't know why I'm on the radio half the time, folks. I'm just a business owner. And I love Jesus, and I have an opinion, and I guess it's my therapy. And my listeners are my therapists. I love my therapists, and it's good for me. But I, you know, I am what I am, and if you choose to listen, that's not a lot of people, pastor, or whatnot, so you're not going to get any kind of deep, amazing theological insights from me. I do like to try to read Greek and Hebrew, but I don't have a lot of sugar. So the bottom line is, which is, it doesn't sound like the bottom line because I'm talking about all this other stuff. The bottom line is, as usual, my time is TikTok talk. We're in the end times, okay? So here's the deal. The Dems voted to pass this Green New Deal mess, you know, the financial inflation, whatever the heck you call it, it doesn't matter. Here's some notes. Okay? It's more expensive, less reliable electricity. So they want solar wind subsidies. Why do they need subsidies if it's such a great source? It puts these costly restrictions on fossil fuels. It pumps so much money, okay? This is in the trillions. It pumps tens of billions of dollars to left-wing activist organizations. This is hands down American Marxism takeover, period. It shows this endless favoritism and corruption that is beyond your wildest dreams. It puts this energy and climate deal and all these notes. But, you know, electrically, it makes our planet far more dependent on unreliable solar wind. It's, like I said, aggressively restricting the fossil fuels. It gives billions away. It gives the government limitless corruption-inducing power. And then, of course, they have to have voting stuff in it. And it goes all like this. So what they did is Manchin wouldn't cover on board with them. And so they named it the Manchin Green Deal. Just, they bought them out. They needed it. Amazing outlook. So, the inflation, and the other thing too that's kind of interesting is, this is all for me, but Epstein, the crazy guy that supposedly went to a second prison, I saw a guy the other day that had a list of people on his private jet back in all these cars that were like 14, 15, 16 that disappeared and were never found again. Well, his jet log. How good is that? Anyway, so we've got the Biden administration inflation bill, which essentially is creating so many more 1.2 million lawyers that to collect $540 billion in taxes. Which is like $4,500 a lawyer. Adding 87,000 new IRS agents, is that good? Putting bills or taxes on businesses like mine. Minimizing business write-offs and losses so you can't take hits. After COVID of all things, after COVID, you can't write off losses. Now literally destroying the most prosperous nation in the history of our earth, okay? I mean, seriously, it's, I really believe this. I heard a saying here recently that I thought was cool. The only new thing in the world is the history you don't know. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. The only new thing in the world is the history you don't know. You know what that means? It means it's a repetition. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. And the only reason something seems new is because you're not educating. Are they educating us now? Absolutely not. They're making no effort whatsoever. They're making sure we're between 37th and 45th in the world. And efficacy or whatever the word is in math, science, and reading. But here's what's most important. Our children are never getting social affairs, social sensitivities. The American children know how to cave to transgenderism and take all the stuff first. This stuff's ending rapidly. I'm always out of time. But I'm telling you folks, I mean this and I mean it. Don't waste your money out there right now. Can you imagine the market? We're in hyperinflation. I've covered that. Unquestionably. Markets are crumbling. Biden's garbage is American trillion dollar out. Just pouring money out. Just because they believe that trillions of land by the government. I think they believe that the Fed makes money, so if the Fed's not creating money, you can't have prosperity. They don't even understand or comprehend the concept that you work your tail off and you create wealth, because you were made by God to do that. They hate capitalism because of that reason. What do? They favor the big C corporations. That's not capitalism. They're pass-through corporations, okay? When they bump the taxes to the corporation, and you pay it, I pay it. The percentage increases in your cost of life have been just extraordinary in the last couple of years, and they're going to get worse. So you can't take any more. Here's the deal, you got markets going front, upside down, front cake, and you've got all these things. You've got to worry about precious metals, God said you got to have them. They last forever, they're good enough for him, they're all over heaven. He's given them to all of his patriarchs, all of his favorite people, the Jews in the Exodus. He told them where to get it in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus got it, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You're going to be chucking it in the streets on the day of wrath, and he covered heaven in it. What more do you need? Oh, Bitcoin. Oh, man, we're selling out Bitcoin, because that's good stuff, I'm saying, you know. Can it go through? $50 out or something if you think it's so right, but don't dump your whole life savings. I've talked to so many people who lost everything. Why? Because you wanted to hit it big and it just, you want to preserve your capital. It's the tortoise in the hair. The guy who does the right thing for the long haul, step by step, chug by chug, bullet by bullet, brick by brick, that's the guy that wins the game. I mean, not not the one that made it up. That's how you come out ahead. I know that God's been good to me, giving wisdom from banking. Praise God. Get your money in solid assets. The value right now of price is ridiculously unreasonably cheap relative to what is happening and what is coming. 509-444-0044. That's us. Just call us. We'll take care of you. Bring in a cashier check, whatever. We have so many clients. We've helped hundreds of thousands now. No problems, folks. Not any ethical issues anymore. Honest up front, we do our best. We have the highest rate of depository service in the United States-ish. Like I said, there might be better ones, but I don't know. And that's about it. You need to come get your money secured for the whole lot. If you want to talk to me, call again and again until you get me. Take care. God bless. Have a nice evening.